Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua. The Old Testament book of Joshua. Thank you, David. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Linda. It's good to hear John on the drums this morning. John, wherever you are, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. For Teresa and Nancy on the piano and keyboards. It's good to be in the house of the Lord in worship this morning. Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. What do these stones mean to you? What do these stones mean to you? When you consider this place, when you consider this fellowship, when you consider this ministry, what thoughts come to mind? Some of you have been here since the very inception of this ministry 50 years ago. Some of you have joined along the way. Some of you are family members just recently. But I'm sure that in every mind, this church means something. These stones have some significance to you. For over 650 years, Israel dreamed of living in the land that God had promised to Abraham. They suffered much during those 650 years. They'd lived comfortably in the land before drought drove them into the land of Egypt, where they resided in safety and in security until the Hyksos pharaohs came to power and Israel was enslaved. God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt and took them down into the Sinai desert, there at the base of Mount Sinai, where he gave them the law, and they became a constituted covenant people of the Lord God. They traveled from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, the gateway into the land of promise, but were turned back because of their lack of faith and their disobedience. For 38 years, they wandered in the Sinai desert, mourning the loss of opportunity, mourning the loss of their inheritance, and mourning the loss of over 600,000 of the first generation that they buried there in the sands of the Sinai. But now they stood on the banks of the Jordan River. And before crossing over, the Lord commanded Joshua to select one man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel to go and to pick up a large stone. And as they crossed over the Jordan River, on the west bank of the Jordan River, they were to place that large stone, one on top of the other, to form a pile, a memorial to the Lord God. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Lord said, "This may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you will answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." What do these stones mean to you? I'm sure that memorial meant more than just the miraculous crossing of the Jordan River into Canaan. For some, it meant that their long journey was over. And now they could move into that parcel of land that would be assigned to them, and they could set down roots, and they could raise their families in the land that God had promised to them. For others, it meant that the anger of God had passed, and now he would fulfill the covenant promises that he had given to Father Abraham over 650 years earlier. And for others, it meant that the dark and the painful past was over, and they faced a new day with a new beginning, with new opportunities. But for all who crossed over the Jordan River that day, it meant that they were finally home. On Sunday, July 19th, 1959, the First Southern Baptist Church in Winton became an organized and chartered body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. It was the reality of a dream held by members of the First Baptist Church in Atwater and others to establish a ministry post in this community. From its humble beginnings in that rock house out on Walnut that still stands out there, to the remodeled barracks buildings that we still have standing around us this morning, to this beautiful sanctuary that has been completed now for over 25 years, this church has meant different things to different people who've walked through these doors or who have passed by in the neighborhood. Now, I hope everyone here understands this morning that the church is not a building, but the church has chosen to conduct its worship and its ministry in this building, which is a memorial consecrated to the work of the kingdom of God. Like the children of Israel who gazed upon that stone monument on the western bank of the Jordan River centuries ago, I ask you, what do these stones mean to you? What does this memorial signify in your heart and in your mind? Now, for some of you, you have found that this church has been a support group in times of difficulties. You found brothers and sisters here who love the Lord and who love others and are willing to support you in prayer, in counsel, or even just to be there as you're going through a very difficult time in your life. You found that this was a support group, an encouragement group to you to help you through the tough times. Others have found it a place to be a spiritual refuge from a sin-hardened world. Some of you come to this place, and here you find refreshment and renewal. You know that the Lord is here. You know that you can come and in quiet solitude, or even in the corporate worship experience, you can come and feel at home with God before going back out into that sin-stricken world. For others, the church has given counsel needed in to understand the issues of life. People who have walked down the hard road of daily life and who've experienced certain things to share with you as you are walking down that same road, whose experiences have not been yours, but they're willing to share with you as you're going through some of the same troubled waters that they've been through. And they've brought you under the wing. And they've explained to you and they've exposed to you the ways in which the Lord God has ministered to you and how he continues to minister to you if you'll only look to him. For others, it's been an ark of salvation, an ark of security and safety for those of you who found the Lord here, who've heard the gospel, who've embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Still others have found it to be a training center, equipping them to serve effectively in the work of the kingdom. And as we said at the beginning of the service, we have a team of six that have joined together with other churches in our association to go to Guatemala for the fifth year to conduct ministry there during this next week. We want to pray for them. We want to uphold them before the Lord as they do the work of ministry to the people of Guatemala, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to the folks down there. Certainly, for all of us, it has been a sanctuary. where the Lord has been worshipped and praised. Through the years, this church has tried to reflect the positive qualities of those churches noted in the New Testament, particularly in the Revelation. We've tried to be tireless in our work, faithful to Jesus Christ under trying circumstances, true to the gospel and loyal to the cause of Jesus Christ. We've tried to rebuke false teachings and to strive to grow and to develop in the ministry that God has entrusted us with. This church has tried to remain pure and uncorrupted in its faith, consistent in godly character and obedient to the Word of God. But this has not been a perfect church. I know of no church that is a perfect church here in the earth. We have suffered the same weaknesses and faults and flaws and sins of those same churches that are mentioned in the Revelation. At times, this church has struggled to stay focused on Jesus as its first love. At times, it has wavered under criticism, acted in uncaring and unloving ways, allowed worldly attitudes to dictate its agenda, even allowed immoral and unethical behavior to remain unchecked. At times, this church has been critical, egocentric, and spiritually lukewarm. But as the Hebrew children pondered the memorial of stones by the Jordan River, they were reminded of certain things that I pray that you will be reminded of as we consider these stones here. They were reminded of the plan of God to make of them a holy nation set aside for His purpose. They were reminded of His power to save them from slavery in Egypt and of His provision for them in the wilderness of the Sinai. Those stones reminded them that they were a covenant people, a people destined to take the good news of the kingdom of God into a world that was being overrun by sin. It reminded them that Jehovah is a God who hates sin but loves the sinner, who judges evil and wickedness in men but forgives them when they repent of their sin and return to the Lord. Those stones reminded them that God will always fulfill His plan and His purpose, for He brought them through the storms of His wrath and delivered them into the land of promise. That's what that memorial meant to the generations that looked upon those stones and remembered their history and their heritage. But again, I ask you, what do these stones mean to you? In spite of all that this church has been, good or bad, what should the church represent? I pray that in the hearts and the minds of everyone here and those who could not be here today, that these stones will remind us of God's plan in Christ Jesus to make of us a holy nation set aside for His purpose. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." God has called us to be a holy people. Sometimes that holiness gets a little tarnished because of worldly living, because of worldly attitudes. Sometimes that holiness is diminished because we act more in the flesh than we act in the Spirit of God. We need to learn as a church and as Christian individuals that make up this church to balance the mechanics of the church with the ministry of the church. Sometimes the structure, sometimes the polity, sometimes the activity of the church overshadows the main purpose for which we exist. And that is, as Peter says, to declare his praises to the nations. We have a story to tell to the folks around the neighborhood. We have a story to tell to the individuals of this community, in this entire area, to the state, to the nation, and even to the world. We have been commissioned by heaven to tell the world that there is an answer to sin. Amen? And that answer is Jesus Christ. If this church stands for anything at all, it needs to stand for the gospel of Jesus. We can become many things to many people, but if we cease to be a lighthouse for Christ in this community, then we have stepped off the rock of our purpose. We will not fulfill the commission for which God has placed upon us. We need to fulfill His commission through an organized, responsible, efficient, but effective means of stewardship and service of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, I pray that these stones would remind us that we are a covenant people called and commissioned to take the good news of God's kingdom to the nations, beginning here in Winton and then surrounding towns and cities, to the state, to the nation, and to the world. We are not only to give so others can be supported in missions and evangelism. We are also to go ourselves, amen? We are to go as we have gone and will continue to go to Mexico and Japan and Ukraine and Guatemala, to Michigan, to Illinois, to Arizona, to Arkansas and Oklahoma, to Winton, to Atwater, to Merced, Bellico, Snelling, and Cressy. We're to go and we're to share the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we go. And it's not just to a location, as if we were to formulate in our mind a simple geographic place that we're to find ourselves in. We're to go to the ball fields and to the racetracks. We're to go to the merchants downtown. We're to go wherever people congregate and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the church of the New Testament is really all about. That's what these stones should remind us of. But above everything else, these stones should remind us of God's power to save. God's power to save. If anything, the church is a memorial to the power and to the purpose of Jesus Christ to save lost souls through faith in Him. Now, the modern American church stands for a whole lot of things. There are churches that believe there are many roads to heaven. There are churches that believe that the church should be more of a social center for folks. It should be a springboard to social action. That the church should be this, it should be that, it should be something else. But as I understand the New Testament, as I understand the commissioning of Jesus Christ upon the church stands for the power of Jesus Christ to save lost souls. And that message is being removed from the consciousness of the American people. Churches today don't like to talk about sin because they feel people don't want to hear about sin. It makes them feel guilty. It makes them feel inferior. But unless people understand that Jesus died on a cross to save sinners from sin, they'll never be saved. And if they're never saved, they'll never have eternal life in Jesus Christ. When this life is over, they will face the wrath and the judgment of the Lord God in a hell separated from Him forever. Now, I believe that the church should be involved in social activities. I believe that the church should be a springboard for things that are going on in the community, but we should always take the gospel with us. Amen? I think the church should be a counseling center, but Jesus Christ is the central theme of that counseling. I think the church should be an educational training center, but again, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the heart of all that we teach and preach. To the Greeks, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." To Nicodemus, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." As those individuals walked by the stone memorial on the west bank of the Jordan River, they were reminded of all that God had done for them, in them, through them. They were reminded of their heritage. They were reminded of their history. They were reminded of the Lord God that called them to be a holy people unto him. Later on, they would build altars of stone and sacrifice, blood sacrifices to the Lord God. Today, we have a memorial to the Lord also. These stones. But atop these stones, we shouldn't see an altar of sacrifice. We should see a cross. Jesus said, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all people unto myself." It is the mission of the church to lift up Jesus Christ. It is our calling. It is our high calling and commissioning in Christ Jesus to lift him up. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're not here to draw attention to us and who we are and what we've done. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. And we're here to draw attention to Jesus Christ, who died upon a cross to save every soul who's willing to believe in him. So this church should be a testimony of the saving power of God's grace. And every individual who is associated with this fellowship should bear that testimony in his or her heart. Now, in conclusion, we are fast losing sight of that testimony because the church is losing sight of it. But Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Whatever you understand these stones to mean, this church is more than a counseling center, more than an educational organization, more than a launch pad for social change. These stones should remind us that God still hates sin, but loves the sinner. That God continues to judge evil and the wickedness in men, but he forgives them when they're willing to repent and to turn to Jesus. Because he is the only way to eternal life. Whatever this church has been for you in the past, I pray that in the future you will find this church to be a beacon of light in a sin-darkened world that will draw you to Jesus and will keep you close by his side until he comes for us. Pray with me. Father, for 50 years, this church has had a heritage of preaching and teaching and ministering the gospel. It has been faithful to that task. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have kept the church faithful to that task. When others have gone the way of the world, when others have gone the way of philosophy, when others have gone the way of social interchange and social action, you have allowed this church, you have kept this church committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, Lord God, in the troubling days that we're living in, with the economy up and down, with political unrest, with racial strife, with class struggle, everything that's going on, Lord God, that tears us apart, I pray that you will continue through your Holy Spirit to keep this church firmly anchored on the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, we will continue to minister to those who are oppressed, those who are confused, those who are down and out, those who are trying to make heads or tails of what life is really all about. Help us, Lord, to continue to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person, man, woman, boy, or girl, up and out as well as down and out, those who have their act together and those whose lives are falling apart. Father, I pray that you will help us to remain a beacon of heaven in a world that is fast on the road to hell. Help us, Lord God, to maintain the light of Christ in a world of darkness. Help us, Lord God, to remain steadfast and faithful in the truth of your word when the whole world seems to believe the lie. It may be, Lord God, that there is one here whose heart's desire at this moment is to put faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe there is one here who realizes, Lord God, that life is not all that they had hoped it would be or even planned for it to be. That there is a dimension to life that was never explained to them, never exposed to them. It's the life, Lord God, of the sin of the flesh, of worldliness. The life of emptiness without God. I pray that even now, Lord God, they will consider standing and embracing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, coming to the cross and realizing that the answer to their deepest need is found in Jesus Christ. Father, I would pray for others who've already accepted Christ, who've already cast their lot into His kingdom, that they, Father, would stay close to the cross. Some have wandered away. Some, Lord God, have been dabbling around in the world, in the flesh, and in sin. I would pray, Lord God, that the convicting power of your Holy Spirit will draw them back, that they will see, Lord God, that you hate sin, and that you'll judge the sin. But, Father, you love us. You love the sinner. And you're willing, Lord God, to restore those who repent. Father, I pray for every soul here as they consider what these stones mean to them. Father, I would pray that they would consider, if nothing less, that this church stands to represent Jesus Christ, and that they can become a part of that work in this place through the fellowship of this church, through Jesus Christ, who died to save them, through the ministry of the gospel that compels them to go out into a lost world and tell people about Jesus. Father, we give you this time of invitation. We give you every decision that is made during this moment that it might be pleasing to your sight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you will. David is going to lead us in a time of decision, a time of invitation. Maybe your heart's desire this morning is to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I invite you to come and put your faith in the Lord. I invite you to come and trust in Jesus and be saved. I invite you to begin a new journey that will lead you to glory, that will lead you to heaven. I invite you to come to Jesus. Christian friend, are you living for the Lord? Have these stones lost meaning in your life? Have you gotten sidetracked somewhere along the way? Your focus has blurred and you no longer see Jesus clearly anymore in your life? I invite you to come, maybe just to kneel at the altar and ask the Lord to sharpen your vision once again of His plan and His purpose, not only for the church, but also for your life as a Christian. Maybe your heart's desire is to join fellowship with this church family. Maybe you've already accepted Christ, but you've never been baptized. You've never fulfilled the first commandment of Jesus to those who follow Him, and that is to identify with Him in baptism. I invite you to come also. Whatever your need is, whatever the Holy Spirit of God is moving upon you to do, I pray you'll do it even now as we sing. David, lead us.
He became sin. who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. That's so amazing. That's so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.